Incarnation. Karma. Pastimes. Gunanam. Transcendental qualities. Cha. And. Chatarte. For his sake. Akila. All. Cheshtitam. Endeavors. Ishtam. Whatever worship one performs. Datam. Whatever charity. Tapaha. Penance. Japtam. Whatever mantras one chants. Vritam. Pious activities performed. Yat. What? Cha. Also. Atmanaha. To oneself. Priyam. Dear. Dharan. Wife. Sutan. Sons. Grihan. Home. Pranam. Vital air. Yat. Which. Parasmai. Unto the Supreme. Nivedanam. Offering. Translation and purport to this verse. This translation and purport by disciples of Srila Prabhupada, Udayananda Maharaj and others. One should hear, glorify, and meditate upon the wonderful, transcendental activities of the Lord. One should specifically become absorbed in the appearance, activities, qualities, and holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus inspired, one should perform all of one's daily activities as an offering to the Lord. One should perform sacrifice, charity, and penance exclusively for the Lord's satisfaction. Similarly, one should chant only those mantras which glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all one's religious activities should be performed as an offering to the Lord. Whatever one finds pleasing or enjoyable, he should immediately offer to the Supreme Lord. And even his wife, children, home, and very life air, he should offer at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you understand the last part correctly. In the purport, it states, in Bhagavad Gita, 9:27, Lord Krishna has ordered, Yad kuroshi yad ashnasi, yad yohoshi dadasi yat, yad tapasyasi kaunteya, tat karusha madarpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, and all that you offer and give away, and all austerities that you perform should be done as an offering unto me. Srila Prabhupada has commented on this verse as follows. Prabhupada comments, thus it is the duty of everyone to mold his life in such a way that he will not forget Krishna in any circumstance. Everyone has to work for maintenance of his body and soul together. And Krishna recommends herein that one should work for him. Everyone has to eat something to live. Therefore, he should accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Any civilized man has to perform some religious ritualistic ceremonies. Therefore, Krishna recommends, do it for me. And this is called archanam. Everyone has a tendency to give something in charity. Krishna says, give it to me. And this means that all surplus money accumulated, all surplus money accumulated should be utilized in furthering the Krishna consciousness movement. Nowadays, people are very much inclined to the meditational process, which is not practical in this age. But if anyone practices meditating on Krishna 24 hours by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra round his beads, he is surely the greatest yogi, as substantiated by the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which many of you are familiar with that chapter, Yoginam Sarvesham. Of all yogis, one who abides in Krishna, worshipping Krishna, full devotion with all their hearts, is the highest of all yogis. No one is higher than that yogi. Most people think of a yogi as some kind of skinny fellow standing on his head or something, buried under the water or something or another, submerged. But not necessarily. One type of yogi, maybe. Yoga means linking with God, one who is linked with the Supreme. Just like here, so many wonderful devotees living here in this community, I'm sure. I don't know many of you very well. My first ever time here in this part of, this remote part of the world, if I can describe it. And I'm made in England. If any of you have been unfortunate enough to have been to England, but if you're fortunate enough, if you've been to England serving Prabhupada, and now I'm kind of all over the place. I don't know where I am, here and there, doing nothing much. Just don't stay long anywhere to keep out of trouble. You know? If you stay too long in one place, you get in trouble. You get in trouble even if you don't, but you get more trouble if you stay in one place. Moving around a bit, although I'm just not familiar with everybody here. I know many devotees by face, and a few I know personally, of course. Some I know very well, but I don't know if they're here today. I've been spending a lot of time in France. Have any of you been in France? Anyone been in France? You've been in France? Are you from France? From here. Anyone else been in France? Just visiting briefly, that's what most people do. Even if they go there with an intention of staying a bit longer, it usually ends up quite brief these days. It was a very vibrant community in the 70s and 80s, of course, later part of the 70s. And whatever reason, challenge, whatever may be there, the ISKCON community there is not very, let's say, not very, not a very large community, very small. We have still, New Mayapur is still very much ISKCON property. We have the Mayapur project, Ambarish Prabhu is here. And of course, everyone knows all about the Temple of Vedic Planetarium, how important Mayapur project is. And New Mayapur was also very dear to Srila Prabhupada. I heard that you signed the agreement on this land on the day of Prabhupada's Tirubhav. That's what I heard the other day. Quite amazing, right? Pardon? Yeah, same day. Incredible coincidence. Not by chance. To keep Prabhupada with us forever. But New Mayapur is another very only place in Europe where Prabhupada actually, which we still have as a property, where Prabhupada actually visited. Other than the manor. It's the only, it's no longer in Europe, so we don't include that anymore. We escaped. The only one left in Europe was Nyingma Sense. And you know, Prabhupada even said that Paris is, France is practically more important than England. He didn't mention America. More important than England. I won't comment on that. But there's any of you are, you know, let's say, loose and don't, thinking now I'm vanaprastha, now I'd like to preach. I want to challenge France's waiting. Just learn French in 3 months. I've got a book for you. 3 months in the life of a demigod, I think. It seems like that to me. Anyway, whatever. Just interesting. Wonderful place, actually. People are really friendly, and a lot of young people really are interested in England, like everywhere, even also here. So in Gainesville, how amazing seeing so many young, budding Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis there. Very wonderful to see. And how the devotees there, Kalakant and others, and many of you probably have captured the attraction of so many young people there. And just like Prabhupada wanted. Ideal situation here. With Alakshi were here, and Niram and Reti, and preaching in Gainesville and other places. So let's see, let's just move into this. We're just tip of an iceberg right now. I'm hoping that. I'm very confident that we may not, we may be on our way out, but I'm sure that there are many others who are about to manifest. So many wonderful devotees in India, thousands and thousands of young, wonderful Vaishnavas are there, whose duty will be to go all over the world, following the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, preaching to people all over the world, not just to the Indians, wherever they go. That's soft preaching, serious preaching to the residents, the indigenous people. Everyone that read that, I think, where do we get to give it to me? Many persons who become attracted, as I was saying here, that, you know, basically speaking, Krishna consciousness is very simple. We make it very complicated sometimes. Very simple. Whatever Krishna has given us, learn how to connect that with Krishna. That's bhakti yoga. Okay, in the beginning it may not be selfless. This verse, yep, Kurushi Dashnasi of Jehosi Tadasi, yep. It's the verse which it has a little mixture, Krama Mishra Bhakti, a little bit of a mixture of our own, you know, attachments maybe. But that's how we become purified. This whole section of Bhagavatam, how to get free of illusory energy, where King Nimi is asking the Navayagendras many wonderful questions. We've heard of from Kavi, we've heard from Havi, we've heard from another one. Now we're hearing from Prabuddha about this wonderful process, how we can get out of this material entanglement. Most people, they don't want to get out of the material entanglement. They don't want. And Prabhupada even indicated that one of the problems with us is that we're not so sure that we do either. We're also a little attached to, let's say, a bit of sense of enjoyment on the sideline maybe, and, well, maybe on the front line, or whatever it is. Football. Football, is that what you're playing on Sunday? Right? No, they're dovetailing it. It's a dovetailing. You know what dovetail means. I never had a clue what dovetail meant when I came to ISKCON. Or some kind of bird, you know, had a problem with its tail or something. I don't know what it meant. Most people don't have a clue what it means. We take it as normal. Somehow or another, it's special. But connecting or engaging in whatever gift Krishna's given us, whatever it is, a male body, female body, black body, white body, good voice, lousy voice, it's all relative anyway. They're not these things. Whatever it is, whatever talent we've got, whatever wealth we've got, whatever it is, qualities we have, they're just simply whatever Krishna's, a little tiny reflection manifesting through his energies. They belong to him. Everything belongs to Krishna. Yoga is just to realize that, to see that nothing's separate from Krishna. And the more we live our lives with that principle, even in just difficult situations, to see every situation related to Krishna. Then we can say that's yoga. It's not an activity per se. It's not a particular kind of austerity or anything like that. Maybe that's useful, but it's really what we're doing with what we've got. with this lifetime, with the time we have, facilities we have, body we have, association we have, and so on, family which we have, etc., how we can connect all of that to Krishna. I just thought that's what Prabhupada was giving us, a way to be what we are for Krishna, how to live our lives with Krishna in the center and not to imitate anyone else. Many persons who become attracted to the devotional service of Krishna are bewildered by the material possessions, reputations or skills they have accumulated by their previous material activity. Easy to get overwhelmed by pride. Pride of thinking this is madness, matter. Thinking this is mine. It's possessiveness, this is madness. Pride, this is mine. I'm a little shy coming here today because I know there's so many senior devotees here, many of my senior brothers and sisters. I've never been here before, and I thought, my goodness, I'm afraid I'm going to get shown up today, so I'm hoping I will. It's the only hope we have, wretched creatures who parade around as some kind of renunciates or something. We need to be purified at heart. And thank you for, if you can somehow or another help me in that way to become a little bit more useful. Sort of, that's an obstacle on the path of this movement. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, these two verses indicate that all such material offenses accumulated by one's previous karma should be used as offering to the Supreme Personality of God. Whatever we have, it was all about previous karma. So Krishna gives it to us. It's not like we're not even able to do that. Even we interact with the material world in such and such a way, but the results of that, good or bad, are simply rewarded by the Lord. The devotee sees whatever it is, he sees it an opportunity. Prabhupada describes if we're feeling happy, then Krishna devotee thinks, well, this is releasing me of my good karma. And if we're not feeling so happy, whatever reason, releasing us of our bad karma. Krishna's always acting to release us from this illusory energy. As it goes on, this whole section here, spoken by Prabhupada, is based on this. It's not just a matter of activity, but it's activity which is linked. Just like the sea in the first chant, Kanto Srimad Bhagavatam, Nata Bhasanam Shakshat, Bhakti Yoga Hokshajay, that the material miseries of this world are superfluous to the soul. They have nothing to do with us. They can be mitigated immediately by the linking process of devotional service. It's not just by devotional service, but the linking process. Devotional service is sometimes thought of as an activity, but it's actually when it's connected through the parampara with Krishna, then it becomes devotional service. Otherwise it might be emotional service or commotional service, some other type of thing. Devotional service is when Krishna accepts it through the parampara. Linking, linked to Krishna for his pleasure. We may not be so great, but at least we can try to offer it to those who are great and pray that they kindly offer us to the Lord through the parampara. Linking process, the whole process is there. All Bhagavatam is geared at linking us up, isn't it? With Krishna, somehow or another. To link us with Krishna, where we belong, we're always part, Nami Vangsha Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, we're always part and parcel. The Maya means to see anything separate from Krishna. Simple. To see everything connected with Krishna in a practical way. We may still not see it connected to Krishna, but by connecting it through the linking process, then gradually our consciousness becomes purified. Hopefully we'll start seeing everything in relation with Krishna. I'm sure you all are already. I'm not. One's fame, education, wealth, and so on should be used to carry out the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is to take everyone else back to Godhead. Sometimes envious materialists ask why one should waste one's wealth and education in the Lord's service when such things could be better used to gratify the temporary material body. Well, that's a good point. Very good point. Sometimes we think, what have I got out of this movement? Huh? I've been in this movement 45 years. What have I got out of it? Well, I'll let you into a secret. I've got quite a lot out of it. That's why I go to Zurich every year. You don't know where Zurich is? So much wealth do I have today. What do we want to get out of this movement? The purpose of this movement is to get out of this world, not to get into it. And sometimes in the beginning stage we may feel like that, and it's understandable sometimes. But the real thing is to become released of the attachment of wanting to get something out of it, basically. Something material anyway. What to say? They should be, when people think there's a wasting your time, you are wasting your time with this Hare Krishna movement. Young man, you could be enjoying yourself, young lady. You could have a nice house on the beach side and having a good job. Maybe you've got that already, I don't know. Whatever it is, a big car, you could have a nice, everything you could have. Yes. You can have all these things. You're wasting your time mumbling and mumbling, getting up in the morning like an idiot, mumbling some jumbo, mumbo, jumbo. You're brainwashed. You idiot. He will still say this sometimes. Though they're not so much, because I think they're starting to realize that, you know, material endeavor and material wood is also not necessary. You can't even get a job in most places. To say, get a job, will you, you lazy bum? Get a job. They don't say that anymore because they can't get one either. At least in Europe they can't. I think some people join Hare Krishna because they can't get a job anywhere else anyway. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, didn't know he read that. Sometimes envious envious materialists. Actually, however, whatever we possess, including this body, is ultimately the property of the Supreme Lord, who is the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of all existence. Even Prabhupada, I think it was in Detroit. You remember this, Ambarish Prabhupada? In Detroit, was it? When Prabhupada was there? There was somebody who was envious of us in a boat or something, wasn't it? Yeah. What did Prabhupada say? You can come and, well, if you're feeling like that, you just come and join us. Yeah. Because it was, we're living in this nice palatial building here on the riverside. And maybe you have some cars and this and that. Yeah. Envious, no matter what you do. They complain. You know. If you've got nothing, they complain. If you've got everything, they complain. If you're in between, they say you're useless. You know, it's like, whatever it is, you do well, you know, somebody cares. If you don't do anything, what you, you know, it's like, that's the nature of this Kali Yuga. No matter what you do, you know, you're going to get it that way. It's going to come to us. All for our purification, of course. Okay. Don't go out your way to purify others. So probably, but he didn't join. He wouldn't do that. He won't give up that sense gratification. Envy. Probably, welcome. Come. If you want to live in a palatial building, you're welcome. And sometimes we have these SWAT programs. You know. I don't know if they do that in America, but in New Zealand, Australia, there's these programs where like certain persons join the Hare Krishnas for a week, and the devotee joins that what they're doing for a week. And the army or the, you know, the fire brigade or something like that. You know, we have all sorts of people joining for a week. You know, they do it. They go through the whole thing. It's quite interesting. We have one guy there from the Marines, not the Marines, but the equivalent of the Marines, like the Australian, whatever it is, force. He couldn't handle a week in the temple, he said. I'd get him back. This is too much, you know. Jeez, it was too hard for him. You know? Getting up in the morning, ding dong, you know. Only eating off the floor with your fingers and some kind of like, ugh, no meat, no beef, no nothing, you know. Going out on the street with people looking at you like you're some kind of, you know, whatever. And you know, he just couldn't handle it. You know, sitting in a class with somebody, you know, telling you this and that. It was too much for him, dressed in bed sheets and all sorts of things. Cold bath. In those days, we used to take cold baths. You know what a cold bath is? You heard of a cold bath? I don't know. Maybe some of you still. It's not so cold here. Some of you, it's like almost unheard of. Have a cold shower. Ugh. We used to do things like that. I'm sure most of us did. Maybe still do. I have no choice in the miracle sometimes. The water doesn't come out of the water tap most of the time. Therefore, one should be blessed by dovetailing. I probably was using the word here, no? Dovetailing. No, it's not Prabhupada. It's repeating Prabhupada. Therefore, one should be blessed by dovetailing. It's important to find out what that means, if you don't know what it means. One's so-called opulences in the devotional service of the Lord. But they're not ours anyway. Let's face it. It all belongs to Krishna. Simple. Just like when Bali Maharaj was, that money evading everything. His wife in Javali, she was, Prabhupada says she was much more advanced than him. She chastised him like anything after he gave everything to Lord Ramana. So you fool, you agnostic fool. Like any good wife would, and he gave everything away without even asking her. Can you imagine? Your husband gave everything, including your shoes, your saris, your kitchen, everything, gone. Never even asked you. If there's anything left, you bash him on the head with it for sure. Punch him in the face or something. You fool! Never even asked me, you rascal! So she chastised him like anything. But not the way we may think materially. You are still an agnostic fool because you are so proud. Now you think you've fulfilled your promise and you fulfilled this promise by giving three steps to the Lord. When will you wake up and realize you never had anything to give in the first place? It always belonged to him. That's your illusion. You thought it was mine and I'm giving it in charity, or I'm doing this and I'm doing that. We don't have anything. The only thing we have to give up is the false consciousness of thinking I do have. As Baba says, she's much more advanced. She's a surrendered soul, not just one who surrenders everything. Sometimes, otherwise, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Mithusarvaharishchaham, nice one. The Supreme Lord will appear before us in a beautiful form at the time of death. As Mrityu. Death personified. And violently take away all of our possessions. Nobody, rich man, poor man, woman, black, white, whatever it is. Same for everyone. President of the United States, or whatever it is, the same thing happens. When the time of death comes. Unless we've taken shelter of Krishna. Otherwise, we have to remain in this illusory samasthiti. Yei padaparavapam mahatpatam punyam shomarare bhavam vidya vatsaparam param padam param param yadvipadam natesham. We have to stay in this world. Cycle of birth and death. Life after life. Unless we take shelter, surrender to Krishna. Surrendering process. This is the beginning of the surrendering process. Well, this is a stage. Not the very beginning, but the stage on that surrendering process. To learn how to utilize everything in Krishna's service. Therefore, such possessions, because they're going to be taken away anyway, may as well use them where you've got them for the right purpose, the best purpose. You're going to take it, it's all going to be lost in some time. No one can avoid death, try as we may. We can have some funny examples, but we haven't got time. Therefore, such possessions should be peacefully offered to the lotus feet of the Lord while we're still living and able to enjoy the pious result of such an offering. And you can see this is a bit mixed, but it's the process of becoming purified. God Shri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur Tapaha. Austerity means that one should observe vows. And this is more or less the same as what we heard this morning. Is this what we read this morning in the Bhagavad Gita? More or less the same. We should observe vows such as Ekadashi Vrat, which is today, in which one should refrain from eating anything, no water, no breathing, no eating, no talking, nothing. No, excuse me, eyesight, I'm not very good this morning. Ekadashi Vrat, very, very severe vrata, almost impossible to perform, in which one fasts from grains and beans twice a month. Whew. Oh my God. How is that possible? No grains. No beans. No baked beans. No has-beens. Twice a month. How long for? Twice a month. 2 minutes a month? 2 days in the month. Severe, so severe. We used to look forward to a Kaddishi like anything when I was a new devotee. It was the best feast of the month. I don't know what it's like now. It was like that. Where were we just now? They had a fabulous feast on a Kaddishi. Was it New Mayapur? Yeah, in France, New Mayapur. I think it was our last Kaddishi. Oh boy, was it a good lunch. Whew. Let there be a Kaddishi every day. But there's meant to be a little bit of austerity, and not quite so much. Well, I hope they made a Kaddishi pizzas today, and a Kaddishi pasta, and a Kaddishi samosas, and a Kaddishi gulab jamuns, a Kaddishi cakes, and you know, everything nice that I like. And if they haven't, I'll make it myself. Severe austerity. And Prabhupada knew that we weren't exactly, you know, great tyagis in that sense. Indifferent to the sublime. Yeah, I gotta get there. I missed something. Oh, here we go. The word japtam refers to chanting the holy names of the Lord. Such as. Hi, you know this one. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has further pointed out that one can offer one's wife, children, and home to the Lord. Here we go. Put them on the altar. You could understand it properly, boys. I think some have misunderstood it in the past. One should put them on the altar. No. I think your wife will put you in a frying pan if you do that. I don't blame her. By converting one's family into devotees of the Supreme Lord. Sometimes the wife has to convert the husband these days. But tradition is supposed to be the husband's duty. That's what protection means, to protect them from fear, which means protection from the cycle of birth and death, and to engage them in such a way that they can get released from this illusory energy. Rather than becoming artificially puffed up in the pursuit of so-called, you say status or status here? Status, okay. Different countries have status, and here it's status. Different so-called status symbols. One's family should be trained to understand that they are eternal servants of the Supreme Lord. People are trying to attain something, family life, some position, some, you know, and then my family were like that. They weren't rich, but they were always the next door neighbor got a new, you know, if they got a new washing machine, it was like, I never had one as a kid, but later on they have. And we've got a new washing machine, we've got to get another better one, better TV, you know, a better bicycle, a better this and that, whatever it is. This kind of pursuit, thinking this is going to make us happy. When the entire family becomes dedicated to the Lord's service, a very beautiful situation is created. That's where we're offering. Krishna in the center. That solves all the problems. There is no problem. I saw a wonderful poster in the subway, call it subway in America, called Underground in London. In the Underground one day, this is going back to 1974, we were doing it, Back to Godhead magazine distribution, Christmas Marathon 1974 in London. And in the subway, in Underground, there was this big poster and had a picture of the sun rising on the horizon, in the ocean. And it was in the middle of this kind of arch, crags we call it. I don't know if you have this term, maybe, like jagged rocks sticking out off the shore, and sometimes they have these arches in the middle. The sun, the picture will show the sun rising right in the middle. It said, obstacles, meaning all these rocks and everything, are things you see when you lose sight of the goal. That was really nice. You know, when we lose sight of the goal, our goal of life, keep the goal in focus, you know, and understand that whatever happens has its purpose to help us to attain that goal. No matter how severe it may sometimes see, there's a deeper purpose behind it all. Obstacles are things you see when you lose sight of the goal. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has pointed out that if a human being is not initiated into the process of Bhagavad Dharma, He must depend upon the uncertain knowledge derived from his gross material senses. We're learning how to real knowledge is not just a learning process. Even people learn the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, but without the blessings and the mercy of the devotees, it doesn't become realized. It doesn't have any meaning. It's just a shallow knowledge which we become proud of. Without the mercy of the Vaishnava, we become proud of whatever we've got. Position, learning, and qualifications, relatively speaking, we have fame amongst the infamous, but this has no real value on the absolute platform. And this is linked with Krishna through this process of initiation. Otherwise, the knowledge we have, what use is it? Krishna does. He's not impressed by that necessarily. We have this and that. This is given to us by him anyway. This is already. Indifferent to the sublime descriptions of the Lord's eternal appearances, indifferent to the sublime descriptions of the Lord's eternal appearances, pastimes, and innumerable transcendental qualities, the faithless materialist wanders about on the platform of mundane enjoyment. May be very proud of it. But if one can understand the reality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he is described in authorized Vedic literature, then one should accept the order of Tridand Sannyas, or at least one should practice restraint of the body, mind, and words, and thus become self-controlled and fixed in the absolute truth. And that's the basic thing for everyone. Devotional service, bring us to our platform, nectar of instruction. You see, Prabhupada says there that, you know, everyone must become Goswami in order to, you know, understand the actual devotional service. But that doesn't mean literally by an order of life. It's a state of consciousness. It's consciousness of using one's senses in the service of Krishna. Prabhupada describes that in the first verse of Nectar Instruction. How we utilize everything in Krishna's service. We learn that process. That's the path of sannyas. Anasya. Anasya to kama kulam. Karyam kama kurutiya. Sa sannyasi jiya vijana. Magna chakriya. That's the real sannyasi. One who engages in activity without, you know, without attachment to the result. He offers the result to Krishna. That's a sannyasi. That's a yogi. Doesn't matter what we are externally. And all one's desires, all the charity he gives in his penances and chanting and mantras, in other words, his entire personality, home, children, wife, his very life here become heartfelt offerings to the Supreme Lord. Heartfelt offerings. When a living entity constantly hears the authorized descriptions of the Supreme Lord, dovetails all of his activities in the Lord's service, avoiding other activities, he is considered to be fixed on the platform of Bhagavad-gita. Learning how to utilize everything. Tasmat ekena manasa bhagavan satvatana patihi shvita vokita tabhyastya dhyaya pujas chumachita. Utilize everything. Therefore, at one point of attention, we should constantly hear about worship and remember the Supreme Personality of God, who is the friend of the devotees. That's the process of getting through. Yoda nijasana dhukkama gantinabandham chindanti ko dastasya ko nukuya kutara chinda. Cut a chindanti. Cut this knot. Bondage to this illusory energy by remembering the personality of God. Everything is directed towards that. Whatever it is in our lives. How to always remember. Svatavyasadatam Vishnu Vishmatavyamajatacha. Always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. Very simple. Isn't it? Maybe. Sounds simple. Sometimes it seems more. We need association, we need mercy. We get through this, let's say, jungle or this cloud of illusion. Chanting, coming together and having a good time together. Hare Krishna, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Exactly 9 o'clock, and I'm sorry, it was such a long purport, such a significant purport. I don't know what to say. I've given time for corrections and criticisms and anything else which we kindly offer them. Oh, we will take it away. Oh, it's loose, isn't it?
Yes. Maharaj, I have one question. Since we see you first time, can you give us a little brief story how you came to Krishna consciousness?
Oh,
how
you met if you? I ever come to Krishna consciousness, I'll answer you. But I don't know, I've never come. I mean, I've associated with people who I consider have come to Krishna consciousness. So I can tell you how I came into their association if you want. I certainly haven't come to Krishna consciousness. How did I come? Okay, I'll be honest, straight to the point. I was a hippie. You know what hippies are? Prabhupada said, no, we're not hippies, we're happies. I was reading, we were reading the other day, I was in Tompkins Square Park last Sunday on the 50th anniversary of the first Harinam in Tompkins Square Park. And there's hardly anyone there except for us. It was raining. There was like six people in the park, but two or three of them came over and they were astonished and they started dancing. Anyway, why I got round to that was a good question. Why I got round to that, I've forgotten. But anyway, we were there the other day, and Prabhupada was being, that was it. The day after, there was an article in the East Village Other, and it was talking about hippies and fuzz and acid heads and pot heads and all these things. And Prabhupada was asking, I think Hayabita or somebody was asking, what is this? What is this hippie? What is this fuzz? Fuzz means police, if you don't know what it means. It's an old term, hippie term for the bobbies, the police. And acid heads. What's this acid head? Well, I was asking these questions. It was really funny. All these terms they used, you know. Crazy article and all sorts. Anyway, got a lot of people interested. So I was one of those guys. But I was an unusual one, because I actually finished my degree. Maybe some others did, but no one else in the temple, and I joined, did anyway. I finished my degree and I had a driving license, which was even more rare. On top of that, I had money. It was kind of really weird. The whole thing was weird. On top of that, I took 6 months deciding to join the temple, which was even weirder. Usually you didn't know what you were so intoxicated, you didn't know what you were doing until you kind of woke up a few days later and would, you know, come down off your LSD trip or something. You found yourself in a Hare Krishna temple with a shaved head and, you know, orange cloth on. What the heck am I doing here? How did I end up here? So anyway, I was visiting some friends sometime in the middle of 71 in England, in a place called Birmingham, not in Alabama, this is in England. And I was visiting these friends. And is it in Alabama, Birmingham? Okay, not bad, that's a good guess. They were junkies. You know what a junkie is? Some of the old heads here will know what a junkie is, I'm sure. They were junkies. They were heroin addicts. A junkie? You have not been to the junkyard? Have you been to the junkyard? Most people think it's something in a junkyard. It means a drug addict, in simple terms. One who's addicted to hard drugs, you know, like heroin and cocaine, morphine, those type of things, particularly in those days. I refused to indulge in that. I made a vow, a rare thing for me to do, but I made a vow not to do it. But I was bored, because they were kind of like on another level of kind of interest. I wasn't interested. Everything became disinteresting, what they were into. I was searching for something interesting to spend my time whilst I was there. And by the divine mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the devotees and Krishna, in the middle of all the garbage magazines which they had in those days, you've not heard of them unless you went around at that time, Oz, It, Mad, different magazines which were very popular amongst the young people of our circle, I found disinterested. And the music also wasn't giving me the high that you normally got from that thing. I found the Back to Godhead magazines at the bottom of a pile of all these more or less rejected literature. And from all night long, I just read Back to Godhead from beginning to end over and over again. I still remember the covers. One of them was a shock to me. I was in Birmingham. Birmingham is in England at that time was like the black capital of England. It's called a black country. And mostly Jamaican blacks were living there. And they had a picture of Balaram on the back of Palambasura. Balaam was bright white and Palambasura was jet black, and he was bashing him on the back of the head and blood coming out of his mouth. I thought, my God, this is quite, in this city, they're distributing this magazine. I thought, this is really far out. You know, more than half the people on the street were black. So, I couldn't imagine how they could do that. But anyway, the magazine itself was all text, all written, page after page. And I was completely captivated by it. Totally captivated. And we'd all heard about Hare Krishna before, and sometimes chanted Hare Krishna at a football match or the hair musical or you know, something like that on the top of the pops and things. You know. It was all over the place. We didn't know what it was or take it seriously. It's another cool thing to do. So, but I started chanting Hare Krishna straight away as soon as I read those magazines regularly. And didn't have beats, but just chanting. And then basically that was it. I went to the temple when I had the first opportunity in London. And that was a lifetime experience. It take almost half a lifetime to tell what happened on that first day. It was unbelievable. The things that happened on that first day, most of them were as clear as crystal. Amazing. It was an amazing experience. Like nothing in it. Some of it was, you know, the scent, the incense, and the exotic nature we were familiar with, but most of it was like just another world, entering into a completely different world. It was just an incredible experience. But I waited 6 months before joining temple. To make sure this is what I want to do first. Check it out. Remember, my parents thought I was going mad, sleeping on the floor, taking cold baths, eating with my hands, cooking, you know, vegetables. They wanted to call the psychiatrist. I thought I'd gone crazy. Vegetarianism in those days was a dangerous thing to be, what to speak of all the rest of it. Hare Krishna. Anyway, if I ever actually become Krishna conscious, we'll see what Krishna does. Bari place, indeed, yes. Bari place. That holy place. It is a very special place. I remember seeing 72 Pradyumna Prabhu. We had a very lovely relationship with Pradyumna Prabhu when we came. And I remember him kissing the wall of Bari place one time. Said, Bari place, I love you. It had a certain character. As many temples do. They're really personal. Very personal character. Then. Everything about it was very, very special. Of course, because Prabhupada graced it. Madhavananda Mishra graced it. And so many devotees graced it. But a very special atmosphere. As I'm sure you all felt in different temples where you joined. Very special. Very special place. Uh-huh. Very close. Yes. Those days, it was interesting in Gainesville because a lot of the devotees there, they were quite new and they had saffron already. I remember when we first came here, even though I was a long-haired hippie, jeans and t-shirt and everything else, and they wanted to put saffron on me to go on Harinam. And we wear saffron, go out on the street in saffron with long hair down to your waist. And people didn't know what it was anyway. It was just the way things were then. You didn't have to wait, you know, until you're 100 years old before you put saffron on or something. It was straight away, even before you joined, even guess. You give them your beads. When I joined, I had to give my beads every day, practically, to a guest, just so they could chant on beads and we'd chant on our fingers. And everything was amazing. You know, sharing. We in Burma, this is not for the girls, and this is for the boys. We had, no one had their own copans. Everything was communal. Even copans were communal. Almost everything. The only thing I can remember which wasn't communal was a toothbrush. The toothpaste was communal. A nice, beautiful, soft, you know, mustard oil with salt and ground up cloves, which would grind your gums down to the bone, you know. Get your teeth clean, but you wouldn't have any gums left afterwards. You'd usually have ulcers because everyone would dip their toothbrush into the same pot, scrub away. So you get mouth ulcers sometimes. All sorts of amazing experiences, wonderful things. You just have to go through to, you know, experience these things. The joys of Brahmacharya life in those days. So many things. Ecstatic. Ecstasy. Bliss. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāi. Rāntarāśyama Bhāgavatam ki